This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Listening to an encore presentation of The Kevin Jackson Show.
Greetings and salutations. Today you are tuning into The Kevin Jackson Radio Show, and of course I am guest hosting for the day. My name is Brett Siegel, otherwise known as the Disgruntled Millennial, but you could refer to me as Mr. the Disgruntled Millennial. I always broadcast to you live from my safe space down here in Northern Florida, where I'm free from your bigotry, racism, hatred, microaggressions, and patriarchy. Now, if it sounds like I sound a little bit messed up today, that is because I do. I feel like a bag of male sexual extremities has slapped me across the face several times, and I sound a little bit like it, too. Today is October 20th. It's a very, very special day for me. It is the day that my father was born, October 20th, 1952. My deceased father was born October 20th, 1952. How did he die, you might ask? Well, he died from hemophilia-related AIDS. Yes, that means he was one of the very few straight men in the 80s who managed to contract AIDS. And of course, AIDS is a human disease, but let's not fool ourselves into thinking that AIDS doesn't affect the homosexual community more than it does the straight community. And to simply label it as a human disease is a little bit of an oversimplification, especially here in America. Now, on October 20th, every year on October 20th, there are three things that I like to do. The first thing I like to do is think about the fact that it is my dad's birthday. And I like to think about how old he would have been. This year, he would have been 65. I know that because I take my age, which is 35, and I add 30 years. Because he had me when he was 30. So he would be 65 years old this year. And one of the second thing that I do is I put a picture of him as my profile picture on Facebook. So that everyone knows what a good and thoughtful person I am. To remember that I once had a father. As if. After all, if I didn't put my father's picture on social media, how on earth would liberals know if I am the product of sperm meets egg? I know it is a weird thing to ponder these days that a human being might be raised in a womb without a sperm meets egg sort of situation, but now it is something that has to be said. It is amazing what constitutes virtue these days. 7,000 people die and all you do is change your Facebook photograph and then you feel good about yourself. The third thing I do on October 20th is I call my mom. Okay, that was a little bit misleading. I call my mom almost every day because that is what you do when you were raised without a dad, especially one who didn't voluntarily leave, but one that died. It's sheer numbers. Best case scenario, kids are raised by both biological parents. Sperm meets egg. I know that makes me sound homophobic because no gay or trans people could ever experience what every straight couple in the history of mankind gets to experience. But sorry, I don't know what to tell you other than tough. Life isn't fair. Sometimes you are attracted to someone of the same sex and you can't have kids. Sometimes your parents die. It's tough. Anyway, today I am going to experience the phone call I have with my mom every day on the phone with you, my beloved audience, today, because we actually, we have been discussing something that has been going on recently. And I know I sound like a bag of penne right now, but something that has been going on recently has been pissing me off especially, which is the California law that was just signed into law by the liberal governor of California that says that it is basically now, it's no longer a felony to knowingly and willingly give someone AIDS. to knowingly and willingly give someone AIDS. In other words, look, you are going to have sex with someone. Let's say you're on a second date and you want to have sex. If this person has AIDS and you don't have AIDS, they don't have to tell you if they have AIDS. So they could basically just give you AIDS, and worst case scenario, they spend 6 months in prison. That's it. Nothing like attempted murder like it used to be. Today we are talking to my mother, who sat next to my father, who was dying of AIDS. Sat next to him and watched him die back in the 80s. Mom, how are you doing today? October 20th.
I'm doing fine today, Brett. And it's always nice to know that you honor your dad on special days like this one, as well as the day of his death, which will come up in November 19th.
That's right. There's 3 days on which I celebrate, his life, and that's his birthday, his death day, and the Hallmarky kind of Father's Day kind of thing. You know, I like to keep his memory alive all year round. Let's talk a little bit, Mom, about what it was like realizing, having sat with Dad in 1988. This is a little background information. We're gonna talk a little bit about the background, and then we're gonna get in to the nitty gritty of what is going on today in California. Mom, tell us a little bit about what it was like receiving the diagnosis that the man that you married, who you had just had 3 kids with, was basically going to die in a couple years.
Well, we sat in the doctor's office, and the doctor said, make contingency plans and hope for the best. And that was all that we had to go on. And what was happening back then in 1986, which was when he was diagnosed, was that AIDS was a definite death sentence. There are probably less than a handful, maybe more, who have survived it. But most everyone that we knew back then who had contracted AIDS died from it. And it was like dominoes. It was just an awful time in our country. The president at the time did nothing. People were believing back then that it was a purely gay disease. They talked about quarantining my husband and people who had AIDS and sending them off somewhere to be shut away from society. I mean, this is the way it was back then. Friends were disappearing. In our particular case, though, we were very, very fortunate to have family, a very extended family, that was a wonderful support. And most of our friends, I would say the majority of our friends, were very, very empathetic. And yet there was still fear. The fear was rampant. It was scary.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that when we come back from our break. We are here with my mom, Ellen Buxtell.
The Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS or state? The secret to avoiding the IRS nightmare is to seek professional representation. My friends at Security Tax Associates provide the most cost-effective and ethical representation in the industry while helping to avoid seizures, levies, and wage garnishments. Security Tax Associates is here to ensure that the appropriate steps are taken to permanently eliminate any possibility of future tax burdens once and for all. For a free, no-obligation consultation, contact Security Tax Associates, 844-779-4177. That's 844-779-4177. 844-779-4177, or visit them at securitytaxassociates.com.
Beth Cook Moranville, author of Closer Than Your Breath, a book of hope.
Hope, that wonderful, wonderful four-letter word that you may feel completely out of. I wrote this book to give you great hope. It's not too late. If fetal position is an all too familiar place for you, I understand. If the next 60 seconds are too long, this book is for you. Wherever you are right now, whether you're dealing with divorce or death or sickness, take hope. You are going to make it through this pain. Don't roll your eyes. I've walked this road, and I know it. The best is yet to come.
Closer Than Your Breath, a book of hope from author and speaker Beth Cook Moranville, can be found on Amazon.com or Kindle.com. For more information, visit CloserThanYourBreath.com or on Facebook at Closer Than Your Breath.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of blindness in people over 55, but with treatment it can be slowed down, stopped, and in some cases reversed. Make sure you see your grandchildren grow. Protect your vision by requesting information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD, or go to the website fightblindness.org, where I found so much helpful information, or again, call 1-800-BLINDNESS today.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder. Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body. Why take another pill? Treat your aches and pains with Sunshine Pillows. Microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body heating wraps. Sunshine Pillows and wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it, even while driving. Sunshine Pillows are designed with your comfort in mind, will not burn you, and will stay balanced on your body to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunshine Pillows start at just $20. Join hundreds of our happy customers and see why Sunshine Pillows has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Click sunshine-pillows.com and take the Sunshine Pillow Challenge. That's sunshine-pillows.com.
Salutations. You are tuning into the Kevin Jackson Radio Show, and of course, I'm guest hosting for the day. My name is Brett Siegel, otherwise known as the Disgruntled Millennial. I am sick today. I was actually thinking about calling it in, calling this one in, but I don't have AIDS. So, you know, it was one of those things where it's like, okay, you know, like you feel like crap today, but you know what? It's, at least you don't have AIDS. That would be one of those things that you might call in sick for, but I don't have AIDS. I'm sitting here talking with my mom. We do this once a year. No, I'm just kidding. We talk all the time, but we always talk on my dad's birthday. My dad was a heterosexual male in the 1980s who contracted AIDS from a hemophilia-related blood transfusion. We are here talking with my mom because something has happened in California. Now, in California, you are basically allowed to go past AIDS to people. You can have sex with someone. You don't have to tell them that you have AIDS. It's not like walking into a room where you might have a cold. You say, oh, excuse me, I'm a little bit sick. And then some, you know, everyone has the option of whether, okay, we don't want to get sick. You know, we'll stand away. We're talking about sexual relations with someone who you are in, who you have the intention of infecting. And my mom was a part of the sort of original activist movement to educate people about AIDS. And we were just talking about the stigma that was going on in the South Florida community and the community all around the country. And we're going to get into how things have changed. But right now I want to sort of focus on how things were back then. There were definitely some experiences where my brother and my sister and I weren't allowed to go to school. Mom, tell us a little bit about some of the things that happened that, you know, the reason, the importance for education on the subject of AIDS and not a stigma.
Well, oh gosh, it's just an overwhelming subject. I mean, there's so many things that happened. We were given the news by a doctor at Jackson Memorial Hospital who said, make contingency plans and hope for the best. And that's what we did. We went out and we got our wills all in order. We set up and made sure that all of that was taken care of and all the things that we had control over doing. And of course, AIDS was the one thing we didn't have any control over. And then the next thing was who do we tell? Who don't we tell? Of course, our family knew, and everybody was telling us you can't tell your friends, you can't tell anybody, because what was happening is that parents were complaining and keeping their children away from families who had AIDS in the family. People did not know how it was transmitted. What we ended up doing, your dad and I decided that we were not going to be closeted. We're not going to be hide ourselves away. And we're going to step out and speak out. And that's what we did. We spent the next 2 years speaking to churches and schools and kids. And we together participated in coming up with an AIDS program for the school system and created a speakers bureau where we could go into the school system and talk about AIDS. And, of course, right there in the school system, we were not allowed to use words like condoms and things like that. And I decided right off the bat that I don't work for the school system. I'm on a speakers bureau that comes in and is doing a service to the community. And I spoke about anything and everything I wanted to.
Right. And well, that was that was a totally different time. That was in a time when you had all them people, all them good old boys saying, you know what? Homosexuality is the disease and AIDS is the cure. That was the kind of time it was. And now
that's
right. Right. And, you know, what you did, I think, during that time was so important by trying to allay the stigma. The only thing is that it's sort of talk a little bit more about how some of the things that you went through as far as the stigma. You know, at a certain point, I know you told me that we weren't allowed to go to school at one point.
Well, we got a phone call. Yeah, I got a phone call from the summer camp. It was a Jewish summer camp that someone had told them that this was the way he put it to me. He says, we were just informed that your husband has a communicable disease. And we don't want your children to come to camp this summer unless they are tested. And I said, well, just what communicable disease are you talking about? And he barely could get the words out. And he says, AIDS. I says, well, first of all, at that point, nobody really had been informed enough about how AIDS was transmitted. And I did not have AIDS, so my children did not have AIDS. And the way we lived our life in our home was precautionary. I didn't let them get a hold of his toothbrush. We were careful about sharing, you know, having body fluids transmitted and all of the things. We hugged, we kissed, we were an affectionate family. There was no transmission of AIDS that was going to happen in that way. So we decided that, so basically, I went ahead and I got all of you tested, which tortured me to watch them taking blood from your little hands. And of course, I knew you were all you all were negative and did not have AIDS. But the funny thing is, the guy says, well, you can go ahead and send them anyway, but we want to get results of the tests. And that was our first real, you know, negative kind of reaction from the community. Teachers were afraid. So what we basically did was your dad and I, we jumped ahead of the, we instead of putting out fires, we decided we would go and stand up and say, here's the situation. My husband has AIDS. He is not someone who can give anyone AIDS unless he has sexual relations or you have some of his blood. And we started to educate people. That's what we did. Right. We ended up speaking out. We spoke to the President's Commission at one point when they came to Miami, Florida. Those people were in tears.
See,
when they...
Mom,
when they heard us speak.
Mom, a lot of that sounds to me, you know, it sounds like, you know, there could have been some education. Of course there could have been some education, but as far as what people knew at the time, it doesn't seem to me like an unreasonable thing, even at this point. I mean, a school, a summer camp, you've got like 500 kids running around, you've got who knows how many kids, and at the time there was so little known about the virus that, you know, I mean, to be honest, a little bit of fear was a little bit, was sort of understandable at the time. How did you balance the stigma with a rational sense of keeping children safe?
Well, it was definitely a fear. People who weren't living with it obviously would hear, like anything else in our world, the way things go, people hear the wrong information. They don't get the truth about the matter. And the truth was the way what was our in our life. The truth that we were living with it. And we lived with it every single day, and I watched your dad deteriorate and suffer through 2 years of just unbearable anticipation, first of all, of what was to come. And it was basically getting ready for him to die. And his brother, too, who also was a hemophiliac, they both contracted AIDS through their blood products that they shared because the blood was contaminated with the AIDS virus through donors. And through
who are not screened, and bad
screening practices with the blood company. So
we are going to be.
Story.
I got a hard break coming up, Mom. We will be right back. This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show. Get me at Shaq General. We are on with my mom, Ellen Buxtell, on my dad's birthday. We'll be right back.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Message and data rates may apply.
Oh my gosh, that's Frank Thomas.
No.
Yes, that's him. Go ahead.
Excuse me, are you Frank Thomas?
Yes, I am.
I bet you get recognized a lot.
I was a pretty good ball player.
You were?
Some people thought so.
Sorry, we recognize you from those Nugenix commercials.
Oh yeah? That's great.
So does Nugenix really work?
Oh yeah, I really can feel the difference. My workouts are better, and I feel a lot more energetic.
I wish my husband would use Nugenix.
It's so easy to get started. All you have to do is send one simple text.
Text the word PRIME44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And you're going to like the difference, too.
Text PRIME44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of Nugenix. Samples are not available in stores. Text PRIME44 to 42424.
Of the Kevin Jackson Show.
Greetings and salutations. You are tuning in to the Kevin Jackson Radio Show, and of course, I am guest hosting for the day. My name is Brett Siegel, the disgruntled millennial. Of course, you can call me Mr. the Disgruntled Millennial. You can get me at Shaq General on Twitter. I am down here in Northern Florida, where I always broadcast to you live. Completely and utterly free from your bigotry, microaggressions, racism, hatred, and patriarchy. And this week, I'm also free from your AIDS. I'm here today with my mother. We talk every year, once a year, on my dad's birthday. He died when I was 6 years old, and my mother and I only talk once a year. Actually, that is a complete and utter lie. We talk practically every day. She's pretty much all I've got. Mom, how's it going?
It's going. It's going fine. Proud of you.
Thank you, Mom. I appreciate that. That's very sweet of you. We have been talking today about my father, my mom's husband. Well, I guess they're still married. He's dead, but they're still technically, you know. Anyway, my father died from AIDS. Not to recap the last two segments, but he died from AIDS, hemophilia-related AIDS, back in 1988 when there was still a huge stigma. My mom and dad worked tirelessly to bring education into the community so that we could ultimately, through education, not stigma, eradicate AIDS from the world. And this is sort of a somber time of year for us. It's always the time of year where, you know, dad died within, he was born and died within a couple months. I mean, with 52 years and a couple, 36 years and a couple months. October 20th, he was born. He died on November 19th. 36 years later.
And not even a month.
And this is just normally for us, this is sort of an emotional time. Let's talk about how you and dad managed to sort of combat stigma, but without sort of acknowledging the need for aid. Look, nowadays with the PC culture, I know we've been talking a little bit about the past, but these days with the PC culture, you know, people are trying to normalize so many terrible things. And one of the things that that I want to talk about in a few minutes with this new California law, which basically allows people to go in and without any fear of an attempted murder charge, purposefully give someone a life-threatening disease that basically without constant, it's like someone who took one of your kidneys, you know, or someone who is a kidney transplant. Without constant medicine, that person would literally just die. Their body would fail on them, and they would die. And one of the things that you and Dad did was to promote the idea that what we don't need is a stigma. What we do need is education. But you never lost track of the idea that AIDS is a terrible, terrible thing.
Well, you know, the thing about this law and the change is what it's doing is negating everything that we worked for 30 years ago.
That's right.
We first of all, you know, recognizing that there have been some medical advancements in regards to treatments and drugs and things like that, and people are living longer with it. People are, you know, the AIDS virus is a retrovirus. It was forever mutating and changing. But one of the things that was important back then was to make it clear that you can't just go out and, you know,
give people AIDS
without some repercussions, not only of giving somebody the AIDS, but that you have to you take some responsibility. Now, with that being said, I also, one of the things that we did in trying to educate people was to try to express to young people in particular we have a harder time convincing of things, and that is that, you know, before you become sexually engaged with someone else, you should have that conversation.
Right.
Take some personal responsibility for who you sleep with and who you have sex with. And, that's an important aspect. And those were parts of some of the things that was important to us to educate people, that you don't have to go out on a date and decide to sleep with somebody the first night just because it feels good, but that you are putting yourself at risk. However, somebody that goes out and purposely, maliciously tries to infect somebody, or perhaps out of fear doesn't tell them they have AIDS, should have some sort of consequence.
Well, I agree that it should have some sort of consequence, but I mean, the question I guess here is what kind of consequence? At this point, what they're doing is they're rolling back the consequences. It used to be that you could be put in prison for a few years. You could be put in prison for attempted murder. You could be put in prison for 8 years. Now, it's not even a felony anymore. It's a misdemeanor maximum. I mean, imagine you are some jilted lover and you just want to get back somehow. And, you know, forget sex. All you need to do is really just transfer the blood from here to there. It would be not that difficult. I mean, it might be a little bit difficult, but I mean, if someone wanted to transmit AIDS to another person, it's basically like rolling back the penalty for murder. It's like rolling back the penalty for attempted murder. And it would be like rolling back the penalty for attempted rape. I mean, why is rape even wrong other than that it's just a violation of somebody else's personal space? You're not killing them, but you are basically changing them for the rest of their lives. And that's why I think rapists and murderers, they need to be put away. And also people who, you know, attempt murder should also be put away. And, you know, just because there are more treatments now available, I wouldn't say that necessarily means that people should just be let off the hook. You know, like the idea is that there's so many social, there's so many medical changes that it's not that big of a deal anymore.
No, but it is still a big deal because people are still dying from AIDS and suffering from AIDS. So yes, to have a consequence for somebody maliciously going out and doing that is not unreasonable.
Right. Well, I think even with even if the law doesn't really affect that many people, I mean, how many people, to be honest, honestly, how many people are going out there just like, I'm just going to go around infecting someone with AIDS? I imagine it's not that many. I mean, even those of us who are super duper alarmists about certain things, I imagine that there's not a lot of people going out there and doing that. However, the people that are doing that should face some consequences. Can I ask you something? What do you think is a possible reasoning for a law like this? I mean, could you imagine the reaction if lawmakers were to say, we're going to roll back the penalties for attempted murder, or we're going to roll back the penalties for rape?
Sounds to me like the people who are writing this and trying to push this through don't know anything about it, have never experienced it, don't know the horrors of the disease, which there still is. And I think that people still are not educated. They really, it's like any issue that's big in the news, you know, for a couple of years, and then, well, you know, it sort of dissipates and it's not important anymore, but it still is, and it's still rampant, and still rampant around the world.
Right. Mom, I agree with everything that you have said in all of your speeches about the stigma. You know, we have to get rid of the stigma. You don't want to, like, just reject people who have AIDS, but you can't ignore the fact that they have AIDS in the first place. You can't just pretend like AIDS is just a normal way to live, and it's just like any other way to live, living with AIDS. So, you know, what do you think is the cause? Like, do you think it has to do with equality? You think that people are just trying to look out for like AIDS rights kind of a thing? And this is just protecting people's privacy? Because I would say that there's an alternative view to that. But, I mean, who knows where these crazy people, what these crazy people are thinking. It's like they're ignoring the fact that we're dealing with a deadly disease.
Right. Well, privacy was a big issue back then, too. People were afraid to tell their insurance companies for fear. There were issues of people not getting coverage because they had AIDS. And, you know, so I don't really know what the answer is, except that, or why somebody, I think the people that are, like I said, I think the people that are writing this and trying to change it really don't get it. They don't get the horror of this disease and how, you know, it's not like cancer. You can't transmit cancer. You can transmit AIDS.
What's it like having someone that you love deteriorate from AIDS?
It's like nothing I've ever seen before. Your dad was 200 pounds, 6 feet tall when I met him. And when he died, I don't think he was more than 80 or 90 pounds. It was like he just walked out of a concentration camp. It was skin over bones. And he died in our home. He died lying next to me. And he knew he was going to die. He spoke out and talked about dying. He talked about how much he would miss his children. And he, in his letter that he, beautiful letter that he wrote to you and your brother and sister, he told you to change the world, grow up and change the world. And that's what you're trying to do now.
We are here with Ellen Buxtel. You can get her at ellenbuxtel.com. That's ELLENBUKSTEL. She has been an AIDS awareness activist and a singer-songwriter for a large portion of her life and pretty much most of mine. I am Brett Siegel, the disgruntled millennial, broadcasting to you live from Jacksonville. We will be right back on the Kevin Jackson Radio Show. You can get me at Shaq General on Twitter. We'll be right back with my mom on my dad's
Kevin Jackson
on the Black Sphere Radio Network.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS or state? The secret to avoiding the IRS nightmare is to seek professional representation. My friends at Security Tax Associates provide the most cost-effective and ethical representation in the industry while helping to avoid seizures, levies, and wage garnishments. Security Tax Associates is here to ensure that the appropriate steps are taken to permanently eliminate any possibility of future tax burdens once and for all. For a free, no-obligation consultation, contact Security Tax Associates, 844-779-4177. That's 844-779-4177. 844-779-4177, or visit them at securitytaxassociates.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-510-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-510-BACK to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-510-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Kiyosaki, Rogers, and Schiff all concur there's an economic calamity that'll be facing this country. My question to you is, do you know when and are you prepared? Most people don't, but my friends over at Republic Monetary Exchange have been leading experts in precious metals to help you offset the coming economic collapse. Right now, for a limited time, they have a free book called The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. You simply need to give them a call at 888-772-2929 to get that in your hands. Do not allow the insiders to do what they did to you in 2008, putting your IRAs, 401ks, and savings in jeopardy. You need this book, and you need it now. The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. Call 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. There's a reason that the largest investment banking company in the world, J.P. Morgan, just purchased another 50 million ounces of silver. This free book will explain it. 888-772-2929.
Listening to an encore presentation of the Kevin Jackson Show.
Greetings and salutations, of course.
You are tuning into the disgruntled millennial portion of the Kevin Jackson Radio Show. I am your host, Brett Siegel, the disgruntled millennial. Of course, you may refer to me as Mr. The Disgruntled Millennial. I broadcast to you live from my safe space down here in northern Florida, where I'm always free from your bigotry, racism, hatred, microaggressions, patriarchy, and today I'm certainly, most certainly free from your AIDS, California. California, obviously, we are talking about California, the new California law, which basically makes purposefully passing AIDS to a stranger or individual or someone that you claim to love, it makes it a misdemeanor instead of a felony that you can be put in prison for. I'm here today with my mother. My mother is the wife of my father, of course, a man who died from hemophilia-related AIDS back in 1988. And we are talking about the catastrophic effects that AIDS has on people's lives. And when people in California promote laws like this, when people in any state or any place in the world promote laws like this, they don't truly understand what AIDS does to families. AIDS is a virus. You know, I hear all this stuff about from environmentalists. Oh, human race is the virus. We need to eradicate the human race so that the Earth can do its thing. Without the human race, the Earth would be just a rock somewhere floating around in space. Without the human race here to recognize it, AIDS is one of those diseases that does nothing more than kill human beings. And to normalize a disease like AIDS, to make it so that it's not something that destroys families and destroys lives, to me is one of the greatest crimes. Because I am pro-human. I am a pro-human. I like humanity. With all its faults, you don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. My mother told me that you don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. That's what AIDS does. That's what it seems like California is trying to do by normalizing AIDS, by saying, well, AIDS is just as good as any other way to live. Now, my mom and my family, of course, I was a child at the time. I was the oldest of three. I am the oldest of three. I was 6 years old when my father died. My brother was four. My sister was two. I have a couple fleeting memories of my father. I'm going to tell you what my memories are right now. I remember him storming across the house once or twice. That's my memory of my father. Alive, of course. My other memory of my father is him laying in his casket. Now, I'm here with my mom. I call her every day. We talk all the time. She's all I've got left other than my brother and my sister and, you know, a tight-knit group of friends. But my mom is here to talk about the catastrophic effects of AIDS on people's lives. And though we need to get rid of the stigma that it's not something that should be stigmatized, we still have to acknowledge the fact that it is a human disease that is meant to do nothing other than kill human beings and provide human beings with nothing but catastrophe. Mom, it's been sort of an emotional emotional hour, and it's going to get a little bit more emotional because right now you're going to read to us my father's dying letter to me and my brother and my sister. Mom, could you read my father's dying letter to me and my brother and my sister? The one thing, the one keepsake that we have to remember him by, other than, you know, a couple videos and his legacy of education in the community.
Your father came to me about a year before he died and handed me a letter, a stack of letters, actually. And it was a letter to everybody in our immediate family. And one of those letters was a letter that I was asked to read to you and your brother and sister when you were old enough to understand and grasp what he was saying. And so the night that he died, I put it away in a drawer, put all of them in a drawer. And the night that he died, the family came over to the house, and I can remember your dad sitting on the couch sort of in a daze. I mean, your grandpa. And I went to the drawer that I had put it into, and I got it out, and I gave each person their letter that was from your dad. And this letter here that I have in front of me now is a letter that he wrote to you and your brother and sister. Brett, Todd, and Margot, This is real hard for me, my babies. You three are the reasons I hung on, the foundation of my will to live, and the saddest part of knowing that I was going to die. Margot, you used to say when you were almost two, "Watch me, Daddy," and then you'd do something silly. I watched you over and over again. I wish I could watch you now. Pete and repeat, your brothers. You really can't imagine how wonderful that is. If you overlook any differences you might eventually have, your brother will be the one person in your life that will always be there for you. Don't ever let that change. It's so important. My children, grow up. Change the world. Your success is measured by your integrity. Be there for your friends. Love each other. And if you're old enough now, remember that I, your father, loved you, needed you, and was so very proud to have you in my life for as long as I did. I love you, Brett. I love you, Toddy. I love you, Margot. And he signed it in his illegible initials.
His signature and my signature look somewhat alike. It looks like a little bit of chicken scratch, just like he had a D with a little chicken scratch, and I have a B with a little chicken scratch. His name was Douglas Brett Siegel. I was named after my father, Douglas Brett Siegel. My name, of course, is Brett Siegel, the disgruntled millennial. And that, of course, is the one of the keepsakes that my father left behind. And when I hear about people in California talking about AIDS rights, that's something that people like me and my mom and my dad knew about. That's not something that people who just want to go out and vengefully infect other people with AIDS knows about. That's a little bit of a different thing. And it sort of colors this whole entire circumstance that's going on in California in such a different way, because these people don't know the kind of catastrophe that this has for families. They just don't know. They don't know how it trickles down into the lives of other people, into the lives of children. Imagine me, you know, of course, I mean, I'm grown up now. I can speak in complete sentences, but I was 6 years old when all of this happened. I was 6 years old when my father wrote that letter. I was barely even capable of understanding what he was saying in that letter. And already my life was affected by the AIDS virus. Now imagine a world in after January 1st, the world that we are about to see in California come to fruition. January 1st, where you can just viciously and maliciously and vindictively inflict this kind of pain onto any family that you decide, with virtually no consequence to your person. It's just a misdemeanor. Go ahead, Mom.
Do we know? Is it known who initiated this change specifically?
Yes. It's the liberal governor of California and several gay government officials who I guess they think they're doing favors for the gay community. I guess they're doing favors for the gay community. You know, I mean, look, I'm just going to put it out there. Gay people don't have their own kids, right? Unless they have a heterosexual person involved, or unless they have a person of the opposite sex involved. But gay couples don't have their own kids. So why would they care, honestly? What reason would these government officials have to care about people like me, people like you?
Don't know.
Talk about privacy. Talk about privacy. Talk about equality. I'm just not sure what would possess some people to go down this road.
So, you know, then it makes it even doubly more important to continue the education to people growing up who are young and in schools to perpetuate the AIDS education and explain to young girls and young boys how to protect themselves, that they need to think about what they're doing and not be so cavalier about sex, which is unfortunately the way it is right now.
Absolutely. We'll be right back.
Won't stop until he's the top-rated radio talk show host in America.
What kind of weird competitive freak are you?
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.